Kamran, thanks very much for joining us here on Press TV. Trump got through a lot there very quickly, but of course, nothing unexpected.
I think it was a very interesting speech, and it's good that people watch it because it shows the way in which American leaders use all sorts of different incoherent arguments and make claims that have nothing to do with reality. And they keep a straight face, and the Western media repeats and mimics them. What Trump has said may seem outrageous now for some people, but the fact is that this is what the United States has been saying in their media, on CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, for decades. This is the sort of nonsense that I'm sure many Americans, when they hear it, they will believe it because it falls within the narrative. So this is important for people to remember that this is nothing new, to keep in mind that this is nothing new. To accuse, for example, Iran of supporting Al-Qaeda is beyond belief, or the Taliban is beyond belief for anyone who knows even the slightest about the contemporary history of this region. We know that Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are Wahhabi groups with Wahhabi ideologies. The only two countries in the world that ever recognized the Taliban were the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. And Al-Qaeda, of course, when they attacked the United States, there was uproar in the country subsequently with regards to Saudi Arabia's connections with these people. So when we just look at these bits and pieces, it's obvious where things stand. But beyond that, I think what is important is that the United States has to make a decision. It either accepts the framework of the JCPOA or it doesn't. If the United States exits the JCPOA, if it effectively exits the JCPOA, not just by rejecting the president rejecting, let's say, if in reality they reimpose sanctions that go against the JCPOA, then I think the agreement has come to an end. So either the Americans respect their agreement or the agreement collapses. And on the other hand, it's for the European Union to make a decision. They either defend their businesses, their businessmen and women, and their rights to trade with Iran, or their statements and their verbal statements are meaningless because the United States will intimidate their businesses and prevent them from doing business with Iran. So either the European Union, if they are serious, they will make a stand. And if they're not, then I think it's very simple for Iran. The Iranians are not concerned about exiting the agreement. If the Americans want it that way, then the Iranians will restart their nuclear program. If the Revolutionary Guards are treated as a terrorist organization, then I think the Iranians will obviously retaliate in response, and the American armed forces will be deemed as a terrorist organization. And groups and people across the region who are close to Iran and have sympathy with Iran, from the Red Sea to Central Asia, from the Mediterranean to the Indian subcontinent, would consider American armed forces as terrorist entities.
Dr. Marandi, I wanted to pick up on the mention of IRGC because, you know, and I know we've spoken about this a number of times in the past, that even though the nuclear deal itself, i.e. the JCPOA, yes, was up for debate even within this country, and still is, in fact, as you well know, IRGC really is something that all Iranians are united behind because obviously, as with any nation in the world, their defense is important for them. The secure borders are important for them. And what the IRGC is doing, even helping other countries fight terrorism, is important to Iranians. How do you think the Iranian nation will view all this? Because that's also an important aspect, isn't it? It's not just how the politicians may react.
I think it's quite clear. The people of Iran will rally behind the Revolutionary Guards. They are the force that prevented the fall of Iraq and Syria to ISIS. And Trump knows quite well who created ISIS, because he used to say it during the campaign that Obama was responsible for the creation of the organization, which is quite true. The United States, we know now from the Defense Intelligence Agency document that was partially released, the 2012 document, that it knew from almost the beginning the extremists were the dominant terrorist organizations in Syria. They knew that their regional allies were behind it. And according to General Flynn, who headed the organization back then, the U.S. took a deliberate position. They deliberately supported their allies in support of these extremists. We know that former Secretary of State Kerry said in a leaked audio clip that the United States allowed ISIS to advance on Damascus to put pressure on President Assad. We know from the WikiLeaks documents that Hillary Clinton knew in 2014 that Saudi Arabia was funding ISIS. We know that the U.S. Air Force was flying over ISIS when tens of thousands of tankers were exporting fuel from ISIS-held territory to Turkey. So these are things that are clear as day. The relationship between the United States and ISIS and the United States and Al-Qaeda, directly and indirectly, is beyond any doubt. It was the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It was the Revolutionary Guards that stood up against them and prevented Damascus from falling to these extremists. It was the Revolutionary Guards that protected Baghdad and Erbil. If it wasn't for them, these cities and these countries would all be held by ISIS right now, and Al-Qaeda as well. So the United States really has nothing to say in this regard. And if we look at what Trump has said in the past, it contradicts what he's been saying today. And it's ironic that he tonight has attempted to establish a link between Iran and Al-Qaeda and the attacks carried out by Al-Qaeda. He's somehow trying to establish a relationship. Those who have the least, just a bit of knowledge, recognize where all this leads. When he speaks about chemical weapons, it's quite clear that the United States gave chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein. I myself survived two chemical attacks. Tens of thousands of people were killed in Iraq and in Iran as a result of chemical weapons. People are still dying today. These chemical weapons were given to Saddam Hussein by the United States and its European allies at that time. And we know quite well that in Syria, the MIT report, both for the 2003 and the 2000 and the more recent attacks, show that that the evidence points, in fact, to the opposition. So, especially in Ghouta, if anyone reads the report, it's quite clear. And if the Syrian government had actually carried out the attack more recently, when the Americans bombed the airbase, then there would have been chemical leaks on that airbase. The Americans refrained from inspecting those territories. They prevented their allies from inspecting those territories. And it's obvious that it's because they knew quite well that the Syrian government wasn't behind it. So at the end of the day, still, we go back to the decertification of the agreement. If the United States effectively pulls out of the agreement, and I think what Trump has done today has gone he has taken a big step to destroy the agreement. If the agreement is wrecked by the United States, or if they put conditions on the agreement that are inconsistent with the text and the spirit of the agreement, then I think the agreement is over. So the decision is for them to make.